So today we're going to be talking about dealing with disappointment. Mm. So on our previous episode with Given, we were talking about, processes and like how us as a generation, we're very used to like things happening very quickly. Yes. So we assume that careers, things that, you know, take time should also be that like quick. Super quick.
Yeah.
I should just get into, get out of varsity and make six figures immediately.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, some people do.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's most of us have to go through a journey of, you know, getting through stuff. And I was and we were talking about how, like, you have to invest in things, right? So if you're talking about career, if you're talking about relationships, you have to actually invest the time. But at the same time, you don't know if what you're investing in is actually gonna
give something
give something you know. So we're talking about that and I was like, hey, what the question that we put out, which we decided was going to be a whole episode, was, you know, how do I know, because of dealing with trauma or dealing with disappointment, how do I then come to a place knowing that I need to go through processes, but how do I know what processes are worth investing in?
Is a heavy question.
You
know, one thing that I've learned also in this whole journey of faith, it applies with everything though, is that I think most of the times we are so afraid to be incorrect that we think that, yes, there is an answer to that question, but sometimes it's not going to be like, okay, you're going to get it right the first time.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you really going through the process and you are hoping that God is agreeing with this or you are in alignment with God. But there is certain things until you reach the end, then you're like, oh, this was not what God wanted, like at all. You're like, you know what? I think this was more of a me thing. And I've experienced, unfortunately, a lot more of that than, oh, God says I must do this and I'm going to see it through all the way.
Sure.
So I think also the other thing that also helped me in those instances is I just need to be reading the word and see what God says. So even if I'm investing in something, if it does not align with God, there is no way that God can support it at all.
Sure.
Like if it contradicts God's word, even if it's like one slight thing, because I remember at Bible study we were reading about how we were reading from Romans 3 where they were like trying to justify why, I think it was, who was it? The Romans. They were trying to justify like the reason for sinning. They were like, if we're doing it, but it's to the glory of God, is it still wrong? Are we going to still get judged?
Sure.
And it's like, that is not what is important. If even the slightest bit of it is contradicting God's word, then he's not in support of it, unfortunately. He's not going to write something in his word. And then after that, because you're living your life, he's going to be like, okay, you know what? What I said in this verse, forget that. Let's go in this direction.
Sure.
So I think the moment that something is, even the little hint of it is not agreeing with what God says, then immediately it's not a process that we even should be continuing in.
Yeah.
That's how I feel I've experienced a lot of stuff.
That's good. Because that like, okay, that will cancel out like maybe the majority,
the majority
of the things that we are questioning, right? And I kind of just want to like make it personal, right? Because when are we dealing with topics like this, it's very easy to like talk about it from far.
Far-fetched.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, someone who's dealing with disappointment, it's a very, it's about your heart. Yes. It's about your emotions. And it's not easy when you're talking about emotions.
It's an emotion.
You're like, no,
time.
Guys, that trauma. No, guys, I can't do that again. Yeah. I'll give an example of my own life. I remember there were two big disappointments in my life that like really shook me, but the one that your guys
life will have
wow wow the one that took me off guard was I was in a relationship for some time and I was like, we're gonna get married, cool, next thing you know, but then we broke up, guys, and that was also my first boyfriend. People are like, that's so naive. I was like 24. Relax. relax. Calm down. Okay. I was like, yeah, I can get married in like a couple of years. 26, that makes sense. You know.
I'm still hoping by 24 I'll be married.
Girl. We're only long past the deadline.
I'm just like, we are right here. 24 is just like,
if you can just drop out this guy. But yeah, so we broke up and your guys, first heartbreak. Yalla.
It hits you on the floor. You can't eat. You can't sleep.
Guys, yeah. That day, I was like, wow, I understand why people die from heartbreak. My heart was sore.
I was speaking to someone. I was like, I never thought this was real. I was like, how can you not eat? How can you not eat?
Chest pains. For real.
And you're like clenching your heart while you're going to sleep.
Yeah. Oh, guys, I was in the pits. But like, so I remember like going to my mom and I was like, I was in shambles. Also, it was on the phone.
Yeah.
So that was worse. But like, I'm literally in shambles. My mom walks in the room. I'm still on the phone. I'm like, and she's like, okay, I'll be back. You know, I go to my mom's room. I'm in shambles. Sure. I am crying. She's like, it's okay, Nana. Mm. And like, you know, in that moment, I really thought, this is the last time. Yeah. I literally told my mom like for maybe a month or two afterwards, because then, you know, you just stopped talking about it.
Yeah.
But like, I was like, I'm like, I feel like he ruined I don't want to say the fantasy, but he ruined the experience of, you know, finding love.
Mm.
Because you're like, wow, all these firsts.
That is so real.
You ruined all of them. And so you kind of feel like they've tainted that.
Sure.
And so, you know, coming, obviously, it's been a couple of years since then. So we're healed. We are fine. We are together. Thank the Lord for the healing balm of Gilead. But, you know, you heal and stuff. But like those things are still things you have to work through, because at the end of the day, I still want to get married.
Yeah.
So without working through that hurt and working through the I don't want to go through this again. Yeah. Right. But at the end of the day, I'm going to have to invest in a relationship at some point if I want to get married. And those are the scary things, right? It's when you've done the hard work of healing and overcoming such a traumatic event. Now, it's really difficult to be like, okay, when I actually have a relationship opportunity, how do I know that this is something that I will pour the same amount of love and trust and what is the word, and like loyalty into in as I did in the previous one. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, if I do the same thing, am I going to get disappointed again?
Yeah. I think also the biggest thing that we also tend to do, even in the healing process, sometimes I do think we think that we have healed, but we haven't. We're just pushing stuff under the rug.
That's good.
Right? So sometimes I think we ignore it, put it at the back of our minds and try to continue. But the danger in that is it's going to trickle down into whatever new situation that you're going to have if you haven't worked through that. I think I've also had a lot of hurt and disappointment because I didn't quite understand what God was doing, unfortunately. And we're going to still have those moments, right? These are not the first ones and they're definitely not going to be the last ones. But I remember last year, for 2 years, I was applying for work and I was not getting work. And I'm like, Lord, these people who are less qualified than me, or they know less than I do, or like there was, I just couldn't.
And it'd be those people.
I couldn't comprehend what was going on. And I'm like, Lord, is my faith not enough? Now I'm thinking,
is it me?
Like, I'm like, you know, and I was really, really hurt to the point where it actually took a dent in my relationship with God, because I felt like I can't come to you and ask. And it's not like I'm asking for millions. It's not like I'm asking for something that is like far-fetched or whatever. I'm just asking for a job so I can be able to start my life. Like you were mentioning how we think, okay, graduation, job, you know. So God was literally telling me in that season that it's okay to come to me and tell me how you feel about what allowed to happen. That's like good. It is okay. I'm not going to crucify you for you telling me, Lord, I really wanted this. And the fact that you didn't give it to me hurts me. Please make me understand why.
That's good.
Like it's, and when I started thinking about that like that, I also realized that the part of God's posture of he's my father at the end of the day, the same way that my dad would do something and I don't understand, I say, Daddy, I don't understand what you did here. And this is how I feel about it. Why couldn't you give me this, or why couldn't you get me this, right? He will give you the answers that he needs to give to you.
That's good.
And in that you find peace in knowing that, you know what, even though God didn't give me this, there's either God knows what kind of work environment I could have been entering if he gave it to me. He could be protecting me for something that I don't know.
Nah.
So I think acknowledging also how things make you feel to God is a huge part of how you're going to be able to move on.
Mm.
But also it even gives you just, you feel more prepared stepping into something new. Like, okay, God, this is why you did this. And this is why you kept me from this.
Mm.
Cool. I do really want this. Please help me with my heart posture. If my problem was I was idolizing the idea of marriage, cool. I need to focus on you more. Like, there's always a reason why God is not doing something at a certain time. So I think the basic, we need to just get to the root of why he didn't give you certain things.
Mm.
Then we can are able to step into the new things with a better perspective of, okay, cool. I think I'm ready for this new opportunity.
I think that's so good what you're saying. And I think, you know, I can't remember. I think it was Jackie Hill Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be someone from our church. You know what? People say things and they just live in the same ecosystem. Yeah. But, you know, they were talking about how, you know, people would just lament. You could see the people in the Bible. They didn't hold back. You read the Psalms. Mm-hmm. You read Lamentations. Mm. Like, these people really poured out their heart, you know, to God. And in really difficult times, that's what they, that's what was their therapy. That was their saving grace, you know? And I think that's one thing that I would just want to stress and highlight from what you're saying is just, I know it's weird. I know it feels like you're blaming God. I know it can feel very like awkward because we kind of have a way that we look at God, right?
Mm.
That's a worldview, or maybe not a worldview, but a perspective that we have of God because of our religion or, you know, what we've been taught about God. And I always like to say this, like, you know, if you are a daughter of the King, right? There will be times where you have to treat your father as a king, and there's a time where you treat your father as a father.
Absolutely.
And that's how I feel like we need to see God, right? We need to see him and say, okay, this is a space where I'm reverencing him. There's protocol. There is a level of respect that I have to, you know, give him. And not to say you don't respect your father. But as a child, I can sit on my daddy's lap. As a princess, that's that's unacceptable. So those are the things that, like, I kind of want us to think about as young people is, you know, when do I approach God as king and when do I approach him as father? And the point is, when you are disappointed, when you are heartbroken, God cares about you. So you can come and say, Daddy, hey! Yay! Flames, I see. I dare see flames, though. But, like, you can come and you can actually speak to him and you can reason with him and you can ask him. It's not a sin for you to ask. That's funny. I have like, what is it? There was a poem back in the day, when I was still listening to Christian poetry. But it was like, they were talking about like, I'm not questioning God. I just have questions. And that's fine. You can have questions. You can ask God about why is this happening in my life, and expect to receive an answer. Don't do it in a manner that you're like, you're just like basically giving a big middle finger to God. Don't do that. But like, you can ask God and he will answer. And he'll answer in his own time and he'll answer in his own way. But what I know for sure is that he'll comfort you through whatever process that you're coming through in that healing journey.
I tell you, it's interesting because even this week I've been like, the month of August was very hectic for me and emotionally it has been heavy and I had to come to him and I was like, time for me to be like, King, Savior of all nations. I was like, this is not the time. Right now I need to cry and I need to say, Father, hold me. Just hold me. Cover me, please. And I was reading Isaiah 43 and one of the verses was like, just encouraging, like, I was reading the whole chapter. In the beginning, it was mentioning how we are made in his image. It was just a reminder. Like, sometimes I think we want, as much as it would be great for God to come down and be like, here and be like, no, this is 1, 2, 3. You know, we would love that. But even just opening his word, he can give you all the comfort. Because when I opened it, I just felt like I was being hugged. And he was like, you don't have to fear. You're made in his in my image, you know, you are mine. And those words that were one. You are mine. I was like, I've never been so wanted. Like, that's how I felt. And even when you go down, further down in the chapter, he also mentioned that he is a God who opens the sea. And I was just like, you know what? If someone can split the sea, and I just remembered Moses, and I'm like, if someone can split the sea, what is me finding a partner? What is me finding a job? What is me finding a community that I want? To me, I was like, cool, maybe I shouldn't measure them. But to me, opening a full sea that Moses walked through, it was just like so huge compared to a job opportunity in my eyes. Obviously, everyone is going to be subjective.
That's good.
But for me, it was like, I am not alone and God is here. Like, that was all the peace that I needed in that time. I didn't understand why I'm here. I still don't. Sure. He still didn't answer me on that fact on why is this happening.
Mm.
But I think the peace of knowing that he's got me. Like, I don't have to worry because he has me.
Sure.
So, yeah, that is also something I wanted to add in there.
I love that. And I think also to add, it's remembering that Jesus also went through disappointments. It's like, you know, there's a scripture that I'm going to kind of paraphrase it, but it was hinting at the fact that, like, we don't have a high priest that doesn't sympathize with our weaknesses. He went through all of them. He was tempted with all these things, and yet he didn't sin. So when you come to Jesus and you come in your vulnerability, it's not like he's above you, that he hasn't experienced that hurt. He hasn't experienced, you know, the pain or the wanting to have something and not being able to fulfill that. But I think from the same way that Jesus decided to follow his Father's will is the same way we can gain strength in our overcoming disappointments, that we can invest in different processes, you know. His strength was in the fact that this is my Father's will. So I'll follow my Father's will because that's my focus. That is my, that's my prerogative. You understand? And there's also scripture in Hebrews 12-ish where it says that the reason why Jesus endured the cross and the shame was because he was looking, it says, for the joy that was set before him. He was looking into, you know, the heavenly rewards that he was going to receive. He was looking into people being delivered and set free. He was, his focus was so much higher than the things that he was currently experiencing. And that was what allowed him to say, okay, Father, let your will be done. And, you know, if it is for your will for me to be on this cross, it is what it is. Let me get through it. And I think that's one of the ways that we maybe can deal with learning how to get into different processes is asking God, is this something that you actually want me to do? I think we could save ourselves a lot because at the end of the day, let's be real, a lot of the times we don't ask God
at all.
We just jump the gun.
And then when we're at the end, we're like, but why?
Huh?
And there is a verse. I didn't know that there was a verse. I forgot where it is. Jesus, help me. But I think it's somewhere in the Old Testament. It might be in Isaiah. But he literally, in the word, it says, people make choices on their own. Again, I'm butchering the translation. It's not like this. But it was basically saying how people get mad at me for decisions that they made.
Imagine.
And I was like, I didn't know the Bible is that real, but that is so real. Because a lot of the times we get into stuff that we're not supposed to. Sometimes we even get into stuff prematurely.
That's and good.
Because sometimes God can speak to us and say, this is for you. He can literally tell you. But if he hasn't given you a go ahead to go into that process, then you still need to be patient and wait until he gives you a go ahead. So sometimes we get into things too quickly. We do things that we're not supposed to. And then we want God to jump on our ship and be like, please steer the ship now since you're here.
You know, it's not my boat, babes.
Exactly. So if we're not on his boat and we want him to jump on our boat, we're already gonna have problems.
That's good.
So yeah, it's real.